This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm really excited today to be able to be here with you guys and speak to you guys on some stuff. You know, as many of you know, I write a book a month, and I would love for anyone and everyone who's not on our Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club to definitely join if you're in the USA, because we really give you free shipping. It's autographed. It's shipped out to you the moment we get in our office every month. Plus, you get the ebook with that book free. So we definitely want you guys to sign up for the Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. And unfortunately, it's actually just for those in the USA because of shipping prices. But anyway, hey, once again, thank you for joining with me today. And I've got some great things to talk to you guys about today. You know, my latest book this month in April is called Spiritual Awakening, Time to Get Revived. And spiritual awakening to me is a very potent, powerful subject because it goes beyond revival. It goes beyond anything of just feeling like, you know, I just feel asleep all the time. You know, I feel like I'm asleep all the time. I feel like life passes me by. I feel like, you know, I'm not really contributing anything to the universe. You know, I feel like God's forsaken me. You know, I feel like He's far from me. All these are comments people make that are not spiritually awakened. Because one of the things you begin to collect, for lack of a better word, within your consciousness, in your mind, in your spirit, is you begin to collect this new data, this new reprogramming that causes you to never see life the same again. And all those questions that I just said earlier, if those are you, by the way, you need to get the book, because these are powerful questions that people ask all the time, but they're also powerful questions that people ask when they're asleep, because that means your life is on autopilot. And if I want you to think about that for a moment, imagine with me, most people don't realize that their life is on autopilot. And basically what that means is when the subconscious, basically, we'll say, for example, just kicks in. It just kicks in to just do what it knows to do in any situation, you know, whatever environment you're in. It just knows how to kick it in. For example, you get in a car, your subconscious just kicks in. It just automatically knows how to drive because it's already memorized the program of how to do that. Your mind memorizes the program of how to walk and how to talk and go to the restroom, for goodness sake, how to take a shower, you know. And so it just tends to kick in with people, which is good because we have to have that in our lives, right? The conscious mind actually is what is a sort of alert and receptive in the now moment that causes us to begin to live in this moment, see in this moment, and begin to experience the moment as it's happening and as it's unfolding, right? So these are just sort of simplistic definitions of the conscious versus subconscious. Now you might say, well, how is that important in Christianity? How is it important in what I believe? Very good question. It's very important because you need to know exactly how to have a spiritual awakening by realizing, or if you're on autopilot, that means most of you, if not all of you, basically is asleep. And that means that you're never going to be able to be in the place of awareness of what the conscious mind wants to be able to contribute and birth forth and unfold to you. And so what happens is you live in the state of sleepiness. You know, the Bible says, "Awakest thou who sleeps and slumbers." So you live in a state of basically sleepiness, which basically is letting you know that since my life is an autopilot, I'm going to just feel what I normally feel. I'm going to see what I normally am used to seeing. I'm going to do what I'm normally used to doing. And I'm going to go through the same routine year after year, month after month, week after week, and sometimes day after day for people, which is basically, you know, where are you, God? I don't feel you anymore. I used to feel you. But then you look at your life and you realize, how many years have you asked the same exact question? Think about that. How many years have you asked the same question? Some people don't realize, but if you find yourself in this routine pattern where you're asking the same question over and over again, you know, maybe let's say every quarter of your life or every year of your life, where you look at your life and you say, you know, I just don't get this because, you know, I can't feel God anymore. But yet, didn't you say that a year ago as well? Come on, you know, don't you look at your life and you sit here and you think to yourself, man, I just feel like, you know, everything in my life is just sort of blah. And yet, if you think about it, how many patterns have you had of that same statement over and over again? And it might not have been said the same exact way you just said it, but somewhere every year, every quarter, every 10 years, every 5 years, whatever the case may be for you, then what happens is, you know, if you're going to ask the same question just by different terminology. So if you look at your life and you think to yourself, man, I feel like honestly I've never contributed anything to the world, to the universe, creation, you know, never contributed to the kingdom of God. I feel like I'm in this rut. Let me give you guys a great example. I remember speaking the other day in one of my life coaching sessions to an amazing gentleman who I love him and his family dearly, and he's a little older, but he's stuck in a rut. He's stuck in a place where, you know, this is all I know to do. I don't know how to do anything else. I've done this for many years. I'm good at this. It makes me good money. You know, my employees depend on me. You know, and so what happens is you begin to get into the place of where you're sort of borderline bowing down to your comfort. See, a lot of times people look at life and they say, well, what exactly is an idol? You know, I don't have a Buddha statue. I, you know, submit my lordship to. I get on my knees and say Buddha's Lord, or Mother Mary, or even the cross, for goodness sake. I mean, people make a cross an idol as well. And so you have to remember that we look at life and we feel like those are idols in our lives. That's not always the case. 99.9% of the time, most people actually don't even move by that. Majority of things are idols of maybe music. I can't live without music. Or, you know, that might sound a little trivial or silly, but the truth is most people realize that they make fear their idol. They make having to always be on a spiritual high, you know, this revived mentality, always being a spiritual high, they make that an idol. Because what happens is anything in your life that is taken away from you, if it aggravates you to the point where it literally shifts or knocks you off your axis, you know, A-X-I-S, for those of you who just want to know what I'm saying, if it knocks you off your axis of life and it sort of contributes into a way of sadness, of depression, upsetness, frustrated, aggravated, mad, then you know what? It's showing you right there, that's become an idol. You know, and I tell people all the time, it's not about if people that have money make idols out of them. Most of the time, it's people who don't have money who make money their idol. Because they're always saying, I wish I had more money to do this. I wish I had more money to do that. You know, whether to take my kids on vacation. I wish I could afford a new home. I wish I could, you know. And what happens is it's always about conscious thinking and meditating upon money. And yet, people don't realize that you're making an idol out of it. Because it's not about what you have that you can turn into an idol. It's also about what you don't have that you wish you had that becomes an idol as well. Are you with me? And so when we look at this, we realize spiritual awakening comes when we begin to set all of our idols aside and we awaken to the reality that these idols that have been buried in my consciousness that I've memorized, I've lived by, I wish I had, or I'm glad I have already, or whatever the case may be, you know, of all these questions, even the ones I asked earlier, these are results of people who are asleep and do not have a spiritual awakening, because spiritual awakening actually awakens you to a brand new reality and a brand new way of thinking and a brand new way of how you see reality and how you see yourself, how you see God, how you see life. You know, therefore, the questions you once asked, they're finally like locked up forever, never to be unlocked, because you let them dissolve. The thing with a spiritual awakening is spiritual awakening literally begins to dismantle all your rhetoric, all your patterns, everything you're used to saying, and even the things sometimes you're used to not saying. Think about that. Because what happens is when you get your life into a pattern or a cycle where sort of it just sort of plays out the same way it plays out every day, then what you need is you need to have a spiritual awakening. And how you trigger that spiritual awakening, first and foremost, is learning to be consciously aware of the now reality and seeing what is truly unfolding right before your very eyes. Most people miss the mark. You know, when the Bible says pressing towards the mark of the high call of Christ Jesus, think about it. Most people miss the mark because the mark could be in your conscious mind in the sense of the now moment, and your conscious mind is trying to pick it up, but yet you're not willing to pick it up because you're too busy on autopilot, you know, flipping to the stations because you're tired of seeing the commercials, same commercials, you know, or you're tired of seeing the same TV show, or you're tired of talking to somebody on the phone, or she calls me every night at 7 o'clock and I'm, you know, and you're already dreading it, or, you know, they play that same song on the radio all the time. Think about that. These might sound trivial to you, but the truth is they're hints of you being asleep. Because the now moment actually is trying to unfold to you to say, if you've heard this for so long, think of my book Synchronicities, folks. I dived into these subjects in the book Synchronicities because it shows and proves how patterns can be good, but we have to begin to understand what are patterns. And patterns and synchronicities are basically showing up in our lives, and when we're consciously aware of that, to say, I recognize you, I saw that before, I'm seeing it now, I'm recognizing it, and then the spiritual awakening that you really maybe should be in is at that moment already telling you, wait a minute, something, this pattern, the synchronicity, this thing that I'm seeing again, my awareness is picking up on, it's trying to tell me something, and spiritual awakening causes you to kick in instead of overlooking it because you're used to seeing it. It causes you to kick in to see what's behind the veil of that thing, of that, so that's the pattern or the synchronicity. Think about that. So when life begins to pass you by, you're asleep. When you live in the conscious reality of what is consciously aware of what's going on right now, what is life beginning to tell me, what are things and TV shows and circumstances around me, what are they trying to say to me right now? These are key elements, folks, where you've got to begin to truly awaken to understand. If you're seeing patterns and synchronicities, then awaken. Maybe they're there for you to begin to recognize, and just because you recognize it doesn't make you spiritually awakened, all right? It means you're in the first stages of saying, wait a minute, I acknowledge. I see this, and now I acknowledge this. Okay, now my acknowledgement now is leading me into getting the education I need, spiritually speaking, and pulling out the wisdom of the situation and going through the pattern, through the situation, and gaining the wisdom I need to recognize something is trying to alert me. Something is trying to shift my patterns and let me see through the patterns to recognize something is trying to talk to me. This has a hidden code. This has a hidden message trying to reveal itself to me. Because these are key steps that push you forward into the awakening process to be able to understand that the Lord wants you to begin to awaken so much in your life because you're missing life and you're letting it pass you by. There's too many things in life. God is saying, you know, you're missing about 99.9% of the things that I'm wanting to come into your world and disrupt it with to show you a better way of living, better way of thinking, better way of acting, better way of talking, better personality even, better character. To where you are consciously aware of everything around your entire world. You're becoming aware of everything. Most people think they are. It's like, for example, when people have discernment. You know, I've spoken to so many people in the past who I've got discernment from the Lord. And yet you can look at them and tell that they've clung to and they've made their spiritual gift an idol. And so they're clinging to that sort of... Yes, I have discernment. I can discern good and evil. I can discern evil spirits. I can discern, you know, and all of a sudden you look at them and you're thinking, you know, okay, first of all, you can't even discern me of what's going on in my life, or you can't even discern maybe what I really am or what I'm really not or what I'm trying to say or do. And you look at these people that do the same thing to the people and you're thinking, no, your discernment is really way off base because you can't even detect anything around you. Because what they do is they make their spiritual gifting an idol, and because it's become an idol, they don't actually know how to use their gift. Because they haven't awakened to the reality, spiritually speaking, to watch this thing play out and unfold before their eyes to where they can truly know what the power of discernment is needing to show them. And so most people just make it an idol. And so that's why many people look at their lives and they focus too much on what they have, what they feel like they're good at doing, what they're good at, you know, at saying, where my talent is, where my gifting is. And so what happens is they put so much faith in that realm, in that reality. And so before long, they look and they say to themselves, man, I've got these giftings, but I must be under attack by the devil. You know, I'm under attack of the devil. No, it's just something is trying to jar your memory to begin to shift. To begin to get a new paradigm, a new reality, to where you're able to look at your life and say, you know what? Something is happening. Something is changing. And then all of a sudden you recognize that the patterns you once knew are automatically vibrating to a new sound. Like something begins to change even with your patterns. Even the way you see life begins to reformulate itself, and there's new terminology beginning to spring forth to say, you know what, I'm used to seeing this person this way, but now all of a sudden there's a transformation, and yet they've not even changed in the natural. You know, but there's transformation that I'm seeing through my own visual at them, and I'm recognizing I never noticed that about you. I've never seen that about you. See, that's one key people don't realize. When you're dealing with spiritual awakening, if you've been around the same person for years, you know, you look at these movies and you think to yourself in these movies, people look at these and they say, we've been best friends for years. I never recognized the fact that you were truly falling in love with me. And so all of a sudden these movies play out. And this person has this epiphany, this awakening, to the point where, wow, we've been best friends for years and I never knew you've been trying to send me signals and hints to the fact that you're really romantically in love with me. And so when you look at that, guess what happens? In the movie, it's a great example to show you they're having an awakening. They're having a shifting in consciousness because it's been there the entire time, but yet they have refused to see it. Now, people might say, well, how can you refuse to see something that you didn't know was there? Because you can refuse to see it if your mind is not flexible or open enough to begin to bend into the unfolding of what is truly standing before you. So you, in other words, you're not really a good word to use also is you're not submitting yourself to the now moment of what you're doing, where you are, what's going on, because that begins to open up the thing. You know, like the scripture says to be faithful in the small things and God will make you faithful and ruler over many things. Well, guess what? That scripture plays out in so many different revelations and realms and dimensions of our lives. And so if you think about it, it's acting it out right there. If I'm faithful in the small thing of what I've just had this epiphany, this awakening, you know, to realize, wow, you know, you've been showing me signs throughout the years. I've never seen them and they've been there. Why? Because what happens is they've sort of judged the situation. They've already calculated and determined what this person is to them, what the job is to them, what the situation is to them. And so they never truly understand what's really been before their eyes the entire time because they're too busy making a pattern of comfort, and then they lock it and set it into motion and sort of block out everything else. See, that's very unhealthy. When you allow your life to begin to say, you know what, maybe I need to understand you more. Maybe I need to see exactly what's truly being said to me. And so what happens is what you ponder on it. You selah, as David says in Psalms. You selah. You begin to allow the moment to unfold to you to begin to go deeper into what it is that stands before you, or the thought you're thinking, or the situation that lies before you. Because you begin to take a deeper look at what you couldn't see before. And yet most people don't realize that maybe you're not seeing the fullness of it. And 99.9% of the time we don't see the fullness of it. But when you have it, when you entertain and tap into that spiritual awakening, then that's the small thing where you realize, wow, I never knew you loved me. I never knew you wanted me romantically. You know, I thought we was best friends. And all of a sudden, guess what? You begin to recognize, if I'm faithful in this, like almost like Alice in Wonderland, they're going down that rabbit hole. If I'm faithful in going down this rabbit hole to see you, how you've really felt about me the whole time, or how you see me or whatever that I never could see before, what if I give in to that unfolding? What if I allow an awakening to shift me? Now, is that really a spiritual awakening? Not really, but it's an awakening, and it's a good example of awakening to show you exactly the possibilities of what could be and what should be. And that way you begin to reformulate. And what happens from that day on? You begin to get a new definition of that person. You know, because you're seeing them in a different light. You're seeing them by a new reality. And all of a sudden, even how you respond and, you know, versus react to them is going to be totally different than how you did before. So these are characteristics of awakening. And so you could imagine what spiritual awakening does, that when you're faithful in the small things like that, and you begin to say, wait a minute, I got to keep this door of revelation open. I got to keep this door open to where it's going to lead me to something else, because I never knew this was truly standing right before my eyes. I've always seen it and viewed it and defined it as something else. Now I need to go deeper into this thing. And so you go deeper into the rabbit hole, and then you start examining everything around you and your entire life, you know, and it begins to really allow your mind to change of how long you look at something, or how short you look at something, or how deep you decide to go into the situations. So if that's a possibility for maybe your best friend who, you know, you were in school together and you recognize, wow, I never knew that about you the whole time, how you felt about me. And then all of a sudden, guess what? If things begin to shift, stuff because you begin to examine and re-examine everything else in your world. And guess what happens? Your world had a hidden message in it the whole time. Your world, your sphere of influence, your metron, your world had a lot of things it wanted to say to you and show you that you were blinded to because you were too busy building walls of comfort to categorize things. I've learned in my life, whatever you do, don't be so quick to categorize things or people or places. Because the moment you do, what you're saying is I'm locking it in and I'm blocking out everything else. And that, my friend, is a devastation to you, because what happens is you become closed-minded, you become narrow-minded, you know, sometimes you can become double-minded. You get to that place where you realize if anything is different from how I have judged it, or I've determined it's going to be, or the pattern how I see it, you know, with anything or anyone, the moment you do that, then your understanding level just drops off, because you can never understand. No wonder why the Bible says, look, I'll give you peace that surpasses your natural understanding, which means I'll give you peace of things you just don't understand or the things you do understand. Why? Because he doesn't want you to always understand it by the boundary of what you're judging it with. Think about that, folks. I know I'm going fast for you guys today in the podcast. I'm just sort of, you know, speaking out of my spirit today to where you guys can grab this. And so that's the reality right there. That's the reality. That your peace is trying to tell you. God's peace is trying to let you know you don't have to put it into a pattern or a box. You don't have to feel like you've got to define it. Because the moment you define it, you become too comfortable with it. Which means that thing can never give you anything new. Think about that. That thing can never give you anything new because you've already, we'll say, judged it, or you've already, you know, categorized it into some wrapping your brain around some type of understanding. And most of the time, and so that locks you out of spiritual awakening completely about seeing your world and your reality. And on the other hand, when you look at this situation and you think to yourself, even if I don't understand it, how many of us find ourselves at a place where if I don't understand that person, then it must be wrong? Do you know that is the absolute most deadliest sleeping that you can ever have in your life? Because what you do is you write off people or things you don't understand. And here's the key thing. I'm going to say something that's going to trigger many of you that's listening to this podcast, okay? You know, and that is this. That when most people look at people and they say, you know what, you know, this lady is living this lifestyle, this guy over here is living his lifestyle, this person is doing this over here, the moment you automatically say those words, what you're saying is my mind is already determined this is wrong, my mind is already determined and pre-programmed, because I pre-program my mind to feel comfortable with the things I do understand. And if I don't understand it, or if I utter those type of words, what I'm recognizing is the fact that it's automatically wrong. So therefore, I'm shutting my mind down right then and there. I'm shutting my mind and my spirit down from trying to understand or to walk into an awakening that possibly God wants me to have to understand more and to get the revelation and the wisdom of this person or that situation. So when I hear people say, ooh, they're doing this or they're doing that, or, you know, automatically I think to myself, first of all, you know, how do you know their heart? Well, I don't, because I just know, I know what kind of, you know, life they live, or I know what they do. And so what happened is they lock them out. That is the most deadliest thing you can ever do. Because the spiritual awakening would say this, I don't. Spiritual awakening would say I don't, because I dive deeper into the realm of the heart of the person to discover things that I need to know, because there's wisdom hidden beyond the veil. And wisdom is not before the veil. Here's where people miss it. Wisdom is not hidden before the veil. Wisdom is hidden behind the veil. And what that means is this. It's hidden behind the veil because it's beckoning you to trust the situation by peace. Think about it, because peace, what comes when you don't understand something. And so it's saying, come up hither. Come in. To where you can release your fear, you can release everything, because you have no choice but to go into that heart or behind the veil, but by faith. And faith will always lead you through it to where you get the heart of the matter, which is wisdom. That's a key thing. Wisdom doesn't say, I got to use wisdom before I do this. Not always. Wisdom is saying this. When you go through it, David went through the valley of the shadow of death. Guess what? He came out with a rod and staff. Esther went in. She went through the situation. She went through the courts to get to, you know, to her quote unquote future husband, the king. You know, Esther. You know, look. I mean, Esther did. Excuse me. You know, look at the things of the Bible where Moses had to go through Egypt. Then he had to go through the Red Sea. You know, Jesus went through the cross. I mean, the key thing is Peter. You know, the devil's to sift you. The devil has desire to sift you like wheat. But I'm going to pray you through it. Why didn't Jesus just bind it off of Peter? Because he wanted Peter to go through it. Why? Because if he goes through the situation and is sifted, then he'll begin to get the tares out of him and leave the wheat, which basically is saying this, that way you'll be ready to preach on the day of Pentecost. So if you don't go through situations, folks, you'll never amount. No, I don't want to say amount to anything, but you'll never do anything. You'll never have the opportunity to do things that are impossible and do things miraculous. You just won't. Because God likes to use those people who do not have a problem and that are man and woman enough to go through the situation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, David wasn't charismatic. Charismatic would sit here and say, I bind this valley in Jesus' name. I rebuke this devil of valleyness. I mean, folks, I don't think it's bad, but there's some cuckoo, crazy, Cocoa Puffs, as I call them, charismatic people. And I'm thinking, you're making up demon names now. You're rebuking anything that comes, and yet the Bible makes it plain you'll have trials and tribulations. And what makes you think you're better than King David? Come on, you know? And so God is requiring us to say, How much do you want a spiritual awakening? How much are you really ready and willing to pay the price? Go through the situation. Because wisdom is found on the other side of going through something every single time. So these are just some points today that I want to bring out in the podcast today of spiritual awakening. And I'm going to be talking about the subject hopefully for a couple more days or a couple more weeks. And then we'll get into my new book coming out next month. But I want to highly encourage every one of you, if you get a chance, go to the website. identitynetwork.net, and when you go to the website, put in spiritual awakening into the search engine, two words, spiritual awakening, and once you do, you can download the book right then and there, or you can order a copy of the paperback, and we can ship it out to you today, or first thing tomorrow morning. But I'm telling you, folks, this book doesn't even discuss what I just told you in the podcast. So you're going to get deeper, fresh revelation that you've never gotten before. So I'm encouraging all of you to dive into this. Dive into this scenario, dive into the situation, dive into the book, because if you're hungry for change, and you're tired of your comfort, you're tired of your life being the same-o, and you're tired of seeing God the same exact way you have for 15 years, you know, that's not disrespectful, because if you're still seeing God the same way you did the day you quote-unquote received Him as your Lord and Savior, you know what? That's a sad existence, very sad existence, and you're disrespecting God because you're not allowing Him to shift or metamorphosize in front of your eyes from the lion to the lamb to the fuller soap to the, you know, redeemer to sanctifier to justifier. You're not allowing your mind. It's good that you can quote those names about who God is, but who cares about quoting? Come on, folks. Who cares about memorization? What I'm concerned about is going deeper into the words to see the revelation of Him play out the nature of those words, because that's what I desire. So if you want to learn to sort of respect God again in His fullness, if you want to learn to respect yourself again and respect your life and your style of living, dive, folks, into this book and let me help you to spiritually awaken to the realities that you need to in your life to shift your world, see it better in a different, better light, and then understand things in such a hyped awareness that would blow your mind and your existence. Hey folks, thank you again as always to joining the podcast of Thoughts Become Things. Once again, I'm Jeremy Lopez, and as always, I always close out with this, and that is, go today and change your world. Create from your power of your thoughts the world and the day you want to be in today. God bless you.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.